Welcome back to another episode of the Daily Unicorn Mini Podcast. My name is Jordan Syatt. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm beyond excited for this episode. I speak to a wonderful, wonderful woman. Her name is Mary. She has lost nearly 100 pounds, and I don't want to give away too much yet, but it doesn't matter if you want to lose 5 pounds, 10 pounds, 100 pounds. It doesn't matter if you don't want to lose any pounds. If you just want to look and feel and move better, you need to listen to this episode because we dive into some very deep mindset topics, and specifically, I think you're going to be very surprised. We always hear on Instagram and YouTube and Facebook, you have to love yourself first or it's not going to work, and I agree with that. I just think it's one thing to read it in a post from someone. It's another thing to hear it from the voice of someone who's legitimately done it, who's not trying to sell anything. They're just talking about their experience. And this is exactly what Mary has done. I want to thank her for joining me on the show. And I'm very excited to hear what you have to say. So let me know if you have any questions. Talk to you soon.
Mary.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm well. How was your weekend? Did you do anything special?
Say again?
Did you do anything special?
No, not really. My birthday was last weekend, so all my special happened the weekend before.
happy birthday. How was it?
It was really good. I got lots of really cool gifts this year, so that was fun.
What was like the top one?
Well, I have two top ones. The first one was my brother surprised me with tickets to see Pink in D.C.
Well, that's amazing. When is it?
It was last Monday. I went last
Monday. Oh, you went already. That's so cool.
So she gave – it was my first concert ever in my entire life.
Was it good? Was it like an incredible experience?
Oh, yeah. It was really good. She did a great job. So, and then my husband is giving me a tattoo for my birthday. So I get to do that on Friday.
Oh, hell yeah. What are you getting?
I have tattoos already, but I'm getting my first half sleeve on Friday.
That's awesome. That's so cool. How long is that going to take, do you think?
Well, they said it'll take like 3 3-hour sessions. So
Holy shit.
Yeah, because it's kind of what I'm getting done is kind of intricate. So they're going to probably do the outline on Friday, and then a month from now they'll color it, and then a month from then they'll shade it. So
that's awesome. I got my first tattoo when I was 17. Totally did not expect this call to go here, but I used my friend's ID because I wanted to get a tattoo before I turned 18. And I got a massive tattoo on my ribs, and holy shit, it hurts so bad.
Yeah.
So bad.
I'm sure. What did your mom say?
Oh, that's a crazy story, actually. So, I mean, I'm Jewish, and my mom is so adamantly against tattoos that, like, part of me thought she would disown me, not like really because she loves me more than anything, but like I thought she would like lose her mind.
Right.
So I've spoken a lot about how I was an idiot in high school and I did a lot of stupid stuff as a kid. I got it when I was 17 before wrestling season. Wrestling was my life, and the wrestling uniform is wide open on your ribs.
Uh-huh.
And my mom came to as many matches as she could. So I would take a bandage and cover my ribs before my competition so she couldn't see it. Uh-huh. And so I literally hid my tattoo my entire senior year. And then I took a year off after high school and went to Israel for a year. And I was like on the beach and I was whatever. And I was taking pictures and posting them on Facebook. And then this is so funny. I've never said, but this is going to be very funny to see how many people listen to this. But I called my mom one night and I was a kid. I was 18 and I was drunk and I called her. It was like 2 a.m. in Israel. So it was like, I don't know, 7 p.m. or 6 p.m. in the States in Boston. And I was like, Mom, I think I'm going to get my nipple pierced. And she was like, are you out of your fucking mind? And I was like, no, why? She was like, I know you have a big tattoo on your ribs. I see the pictures on your Facebook. And I remember being like, oh, Mom, I can't hear you. The service is really bad. Gotta go. And then I hung up and I was like, oh, crap. And
I'm in so much so, trouble.
She like, and I've gotten more sense, and like basically at this point she's just like, whatever, you're gonna do what you're gonna do, and like, I love you no matter what, but like, I don't approve of your tattoos. I'm like, okay, that's fine. But she's just not a fan either way.
Right. Yeah, that's kind of how my parents are. As a matter of fact, I mean, I'm 41 and my dad still says something to me. Like he, yeah, because he asked me what Kevin got me, my husband got me for my birthday. And I told him, he got really quiet and he was like, I thought you grew out of this.
I think your dad and my mom would get along very well. Oh my God, that's so funny. I thought you grew out of this. I'm 41, Dad.
Exactly.
Let me do what I want.
I think I'm probably better equipped now to choose what I want on my body permanently than I did when I was 18 and did something stupid.
That is so funny. Parents are always going to be your parents, no matter what. Exactly. You're always their baby.
Exactly. So.
And, okay, well, listen, so first of all, thank you for taking the time to hop on the phone. I really appreciate it. I know you're busy and you're tossing M&Ms for your kids so they can say, I laughed so hard at that text.
That's my keep your kids busy during phone calls trick for parents everywhere. Because
toss them some M&Ms.
So you just toss them by the handful. So it's individual M&Ms, and they literally, like, even my older kids will go and look for them because they want chocolate. So
that's so funny. What if you did like? What colors are M&Ms? Do you have blue, yellow, red, orange,
and. Did they make the brown ones anymore? I don't know, but.
Oh, I think they do. Yeah. But so, it would be so funny if you said, hey, I have a blue, a yellow, a red, an orange, and a brown. And you like threw them and you said, don't come back until you find all of them. But you actually didn't include like the blue one or something. And you're like, you have to get all of them.
That's a good trick. That might make it last even longer. So
that would be great. It's like you can, the first one to come back with all of them, not like you can't miss one. The first one to come back with all of them gets like a prize or whatever.
Yes. Yes. Very good. Yeah. I'm kind of a mean, tricky parent sometimes, but you know, you do what you gotta do.
You do what you gotta do. Yeah. I'm not even going to pretend like I understand. So I respect what you do, but listen, so this is your time. And I know you said you had a couple things that you'd like to talk about. I don't know how much time we have, but like basically let's start with whatever is like most pressing for you. Let's just talk about it. And that's what I like about these calls. We start talking about random stuff and cool things happen. So, and honestly, you have a lot of really great experience and insight. So I'm excited to hear, like, I'm just excited to just have this conversation with you.
Okay. Well, I mean, I know I sent you a couple things. I think probably out of the two that I sent you in the email, probably the second one is the one that most people would want to hear us talk
about. Well, so why don't you sort of reiterate and just cover like what that was and what your question is and we'll go from there.
Okay. So, I struggle with, nitpicking myself in negative ways, and in ways that I would never ever nitpick someone else. So like, yay, I'm really proud of myself for losing weight, but oh, look at those fat rolls, or you know what I mean? Like I know that I'm doing a good job, but then on the flip side, I only kind of see what's wrong with me.
And yeah, you're your own harshest critic.
Right. So I'm not sure, like I try to encourage other people more in trying to even just get familiar with encouraging words, if that makes any sense. Because I've spent most of my life not being that way, even toward other people. So I don't know. Do you have any like tips or advice, or is it just suck it up?
Well, it's not just suck it up, but I do want to give a little bit of context because I think people just understanding more about how far you've come is going to be really important. So could you give a brief background of like how much progress you've made?
Okay. So the last time we talked, I told you that I started on May 1st, but in looking back through Instagram, I actually started on June 8th.
Okay. And what have you done? Like how much progress have you, this is extraordinary to say the least. I don't think there's a word to really describe how incredible this is. And like, And I'm really excited for you to share this because I think a lot of people are think once they achieve X amount of progress, they will not nitpick themselves. And so I wanted to, I think it's really important to hear.
It's almost worse now. Like it. So anyway, I'll start at the beginning. So in June, early June, I just decided I'd had enough of feeling just like crap all the time. Both physically and mentally, my family had been through a really tough ordeal the previous couple of years. And instead of feeling my feelings, I kind of ate my feelings and I ballooned up to about 200. I'm going to probably cry. I'm sorry.
Hey, it's okay. I cry all the time. We'll cry together.
I ballooned up to about 270 pounds and, which I'd always been kind of overweight, but that was much larger than I had been ever, really. I mean, even during pregnancies. So anyway, I just like literally on a whim said, you know what, I'm done being this way and I'm going to do something about it. I'm 40 years old and I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm going to do something about it. So
do you remember that moment?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I was in Target.
This is amazing. This is amazing. Tell me more.
I was in Target and I was passing like where they stock the workout clothes and there was a really cute pair of pants. And I'm like, I want those pants. I want to buy those. And so a little bit of background about the ordeal that we went through. My husband was a federal employee. He worked at NASA and he was fired for being a whistleblower. So we went in a very short period of time from making a good steady income to literally being on food stamps within about a month.
Jesus.
So, and we stayed that way for about 2 years. And even now the job he has is not the same salary that he had. So we still struggle from time to time, but we're doing better than we were at the time that I had decided this. So anyway, that pair of pants was full price. And in the past 2 years, I had not paid full price for any clothing that I wore because we couldn't afford it. So for me to spend like $30 on a pair of pants for myself was a huge decision without calling my husband and asking him if we could spend the $30. So, but I really like the pants. And I'm like, well, if I buy these pants, I'm gonna have to get serious about, you know, using them, not just laying around the house in them, but using them. So literally that was the moment, like in the middle of Target, having this philosophical conversation with myself inside my head, buying this pair of pants.
So you literally bought those pants right then?
I bought those pants that day and I put them on that day. And when my husband came home from work, I said, guess what? We are going to start running. And he looked at me and said, no. Because he doesn't like to run. He was in the army. So, so, but he did it anyway, because he's a very good husband and he did it anyway. So we decided to basically kind of, we didn't really track what we were eating at first. We just kind of started eating less and we couldn't eat out really anymore because of the salary going down. So that took a lot of calories out of our diet. And so basically from there, we just kind of did that. And we did like a couch to 5K thing on our phones. Like that's what we did for the first 3 months, three times a week. That's all we did because I couldn't take anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, sorry, go ahead.
No, sorry. Keep going.
No, I was just going to say that lasted about 3 months. And then I got to a point with running that I had to make a decision. I was either going to have to start running longer or faster in order to progress. And I didn't like running. So neither of those options appealed to me. And I had been, during that 3 month period, I had kind of on Instagram found you and a couple of other reliable, honest fitness people, because finding those on Instagram are sometimes
not the easiest
because everybody is trying to sell you something, it feels like. So there's a handful of you guys who were really good. And I started kind of thinking about lifting weights and like resistance training and stuff like that from like you guys' posts. So I talked to my husband about it, and he looked at our budget, and we could join like the cheapest gym in town, which was Planet Fitness. I know everyone bags on it, but
no, listen, I think it's great. you do it. You got, hey, listen, I think that's better than nothing. And honestly, like, I've lifted at Planet Fitness, and my only complaint is I drop the weights and the lunk alarm goes off. But like, I think it's sort of funny. So like, I think you do what you got to do. You like, what an amazing story that like, hey, you fucking made do. And like, look, I mean, how much weight have you lost start to finish?
So right now I've lost like almost 100 pounds in that time.
Mary,
so
since that is fucking crazy. That's crazy. it is unbelievably incredible. Well, beyond words.
What's really funny is that before I made this decision, I had literally been talking, like maybe a week before, been talking to a good friend of mine about getting surgery, about like going to get like gastric surgery.
Yeah.
Because I just didn't want to feel that way anymore. And I wanted the easiest way out.
And then you saw those pants and you're like, fuck it.
And I'm like, well, okay, we'll try this one more time. Because it's not how like crazy I have is that to lose weight before.
And so what was the difference this time? Was it like, it's, I mean, tell me if I'm wrong or if there's more to it. It sounds like something within you clicked and you're like, no more bullshit. Like, it's going to suck. I'm not going to like it. It's going to be hard, but I'm going to do it because I want to get in those damn pants. And as you did it, you learned more and more and how to be more strategic with it.
Yeah, that's essentially it. I mean, I literally, like, on the days that we had, that we ran, because we ran Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I hated those days. I hated them because I dreaded running.
Yeah, you didn't, like, say, yes, I get to get up and go run today. Like, right, it's yeah, not like no, you were stoked about that. It.
I don't understand those people. I mean, I love people who run. I have people that I am friends with who love running. The runners,
you don't
side,
discriminate against run. Runners.
So, yeah. Yeah. But it was hard, and it was excruciating at first, and it was embarrassing because I was so big and I was trying to run, and of course I'm not running at home on a treadmill. I was running on a trail where, you know, actual runners run. So you know, they're all, I mean, I know they're not looking at me, and they're really not. I know people think that people are looking at them when they exercise, and I, you know, they're not, but you get that feeling that they are, like, oh, what's that fat girl doing trying to run?
And so, that boils down to the whole beginning of the conversation where it's you're your own harshest critic. Like,
right.
You would never look at somebody else in the gym and be like, what the fuck are they doing here?
Right.
But you feel like people are doing that to you, even though like it's like that they're not doing it.
Right.
Like, just straight up. And what you've just touched on, there's so many different points that I'm just so glad you hit on. Like, you didn't want to do it. It sucked. You felt embarrassed. Like, you didn't like it. It wasn't, but you did it. And this is sort of like where I use the analogy, fat loss is like your bank account, where when you have a bank account, you have $0 in it, nothing. You first open a bank account, you have $0, you can't spend anything, you have to save everything. Like, you can't really treat yourself to any nice dinners, you can't go on vacations, you can't buy anybody gifts, like, and everything you do, you're working really, really, really hard to save. Everything you do is going into putting money into that account. Then over time, as you save a little bit more and save a little bit more, then, hey, you know what? Like, let's go out to dinner. Hey, like, I wanted to buy you a gift. Or like, hey, I'm going to treat myself to this. But what happens is as you get more and more and more money in there, you not only get more money in there and you have more leeway, you also have more systems to get more money back in the bank. So it's like, it's not like going spending a like $500 is really losing it that quickly, because you can quickly get $500 back in, because like, you don't get off track, if that makes sense.
Right.
And like, fat loss is the same way. It's like, you start off by, you were really strict with yourself. You're like, I have to do this, and this is going to happen no matter what. I'm going to do it. It's going to suck. I'm not going to like it. But the more you did it and the more progress you made and the more you learned, the more systems you created, the more it became a habit, and the more you learned how to do it sustainably over the long term. It's literally, it's the same thing. And I think a lot of people now with the idea of flexible dieting being misinterpreted, people think like flexible dieting means like, oh, you could just, if you don't want to do it, then you don't really have to do it. And then they're upset because they're not seeing progress. They're like, but I'm a flexible dieter, I'm a flexible whatever. It's like,
right.
That's great. That's fantastic that you're not letting it control your life. But you have to find out what's more important. Like, do you, like, there's nothing wrong with being a little bit strict in the beginning to create a habit.
Right.
And then to then move from there to being more flexible. But I think you've outlined so many important things. And to go like circle back now, like you've lost almost 100 pounds. And not only did you say you still nitpick, but you said it's even worse now.
Yeah.
Nitpicking.
It can get bad. I mean, I don't like purposely sit there in front of a mirror and like, you know, I'm not doing the sorority girl thing where I'm circling all the bad parts on my body or anything. I don't know. Like if I'm at the gym, of course, gyms are almost the worst because they got mirrors everywhere and I get the purpose of the mirrors, but I think it's why a lot of heavy people avoid them, gyms, because of mirrors. Like you have to sit there and stare at yourself a lot, which is difficult if you don't even like to look at yourself, to have to sit there and stare at yourself. I mean, I know you.
That's a really interesting point. I never thought, like, I hate gyms in the mirror or mirrors at the gym. Wow. I hate mirrors at the gym because I like always find that when you're looking at yourself in the mirror, your technique will go to shit because you're trying to look at your technique instead of actually doing it.
Right.
But like, I never thought about it from that perspective. And like, that was a big, like, that was a big aha moment for me that just now, that's like, I never would have thought of that.
Yeah. It's hard. Like, it's hard to explain to someone who's never been really heavy. And I'm not saying that to like bag on anyone who's not struggled in this way, but when you don't like looking at yourself, having to sit in a room that is literally wall to wall mirrors,
it's the worst
because you see yourself from every angle and you can't turn away. I mean, you can turn away, but then when you turn around, there's just another mirror behind you, so.
Right? Yeah. You're just constantly confronted by your greatest insecurity.
You are. And so then what happens is I sit there and I'm looking, I'm like, oh man, my waddle is really bad. Like, all my chins are finally gone, but now I've got a waddle. Or, you know, I'll say, oh, well, yeah, my legs look okay, but I can't wear shorts because I have saggy skin. Or, you know, it's the little thing. So I realize the improvement that I've made, but then I tack on a diss.
Yeah, and that's something you would never do to anybody else.
No, I would never say, ever. Oh, you look like you've lost weight. You know, what is wrong with the wrinkles on your face? I would never say that to someone.
Not only that, you probably wouldn't even see it on them, but for yourself, you see it on you. And that's because, like, you look at yourself in a way nobody else does. Mm-hmm. And you look for things to dislike. That things that are bad, things that are unattractive. Like, and when I say you, I don't mean you, Mary. I mean like all of us.
Right.
Like
right.
That's what we do. And it's pretty crazy. And the whole sort of what I want to like the, you asked like, do you have tips or tricks or how to not do that? And I wish I had like this magical potion. Like, hey, drink this and you'll never do that again.
Yeah. Nice.
It doesn't exist, unfortunately, that I know of. But what I will say is that being aware of it is incredibly important because a lot of people will do it and they are aware that they're doing it, but not on a conscious enough level to realize that they're actually really sabotaging themselves. Like they're aware that of the way they think about themselves, but they're not aware that it's actually an issue.
Mm-hmm.
And so just the fact that you're aware of it. And what I am really very excited about for this specific episode and that like what you just said is I remember I made a video about my call with Rebecca in the inner circle where about the last 10 pounds.
Yeah.
And about how like we were talking and she wanted to lose these 10 pounds. And I was like, Becca, let's say you lose these 10 pounds and it's easy and it's no problem. And like, she had been cycling back and forth, back and forth, back and forth for years and years and years. And she was just always stressing over these 10 pounds. It's like, Becca, if you lose these 10 pounds, how does your life change? How are you happier? Are you better? Whatever. And she was like, no, not at all. And I shared that on Instagram and YouTube, and like, I'd say 80% of the response was incredible. Like, wow, I really needed that. 20% of the response was like, well, no, those 10 pounds would completely change my life and I'd be happier. And maybe for some people that 10 pounds would completely change their life. But realistically, like just from my perspective, having worked with so many people and from what you just said, what I think people tend to project that they will be happy when they reach that certain point. And that's why I'm so fortunate and blessed that you were able to discuss all of this, because you're already almost 100 pounds down and you're very, it's not like all of a sudden I'm happy again. I'm happy. Like, and I love everything. It's like, no, there's still challenges.
Right.
And in every stage of life, no matter it's fitness or something else, business, relationships, whatever, you can say, if the more you say I'll be happy when, the more you set yourself up to be unhappy. Right. And I think that's probably the best tip that I can give, is to, number one, be consciously aware of it, which you are. And number two, to really talk to yourself in a way that says, like, when you do that, when you notice yourself thinking that, literally talking to yourself out loud and being like, why the fuck am I being an asshole to myself? Right. I would never say that to my friend. I would never say that to someone I hated.
Right.
I would literally never say that to someone who had severely wronged me. Right. Like, and that's probably the best way that I've learned to handle it. And I'll be very candid in saying, I don't think anybody ever fully gets over all of their insecurities 100%. We all have insecurities. Anyone who says they don't is a liar. We all have insecurities. I think it's learning how to best deal with them in a logical way.
Right.
And I know you've heard me talk about this in the inner circle a lot. If you don't say it out loud, how many times have you ever just thought something and then you're like, you know what? I want to express how I feel right now. I want to tell you how I feel. And like, it's going to sound silly. It sounds pretty silly. And like, you'll say it out loud. And even before you say it, you realize it sounds silly, which is why you're prefacing it.
Right.
As soon as you say something out loud, you're like, I can't believe that I thought that or said that. And then you can be like, look at how I'm all this amazing stuff that I've done, all like how far I've come, and focusing on the actively, consciously, verbally focusing on that. It doesn't mean it's going to take away things. And it doesn't mean that you have to be, that there aren't any more goals that you want to achieve. But it does mean that you actively recognize, appreciate, and understand and respect everything you've done and focus on the positive rather than the negative, because that is a choice. And it's easier to focus on the negative than it is on the positive. It is an easier emotional choice to focus on the negative, because you can just fall right into it and let it consume you. Whereas the positive, you actually have to work to focus on it.
Right. Yeah. Well, and that's what I found. Like, I sorely, when I started this, I sorely underestimated how much easier this, I'm hoping this will make sense, how much easier it got to deal with the physical part of weight loss, which was the diet. Yeah, it was hard at first, but now I kind of know
you get it.
Like, I know what to expect. I know what I can do. I know my routine, and it's even in with the exercise, it's gotten easier because I know what to do. But I underestimated how difficult my head would be. how difficult it would be for, because I was like that. Well, if I lose this weight, I'll be happier. And I'm not sad, so, but I'm not happier. Does that make any sense? Like,
it makes total sense. It makes total sense. And I'm like, I'm emotional that you're saying this because I really hope even if just one person listening can really because you can say all you want. I've said it on Instagram. And I've said it before, but it's different for me to say it or for a coach to say it or for any fucking person on Instagram. It's even if you said it on Instagram, it's one thing. But to hear it from your mouth, having heard everything you've gone through and to realize, wow, maybe I need to stop saying I'll be happy when and really start to focus on the like forcing myself to focus on the positives now. Focus on, hey, I didn't want to work out and I fucking forced myself to work out today and I'm proud of myself. And am I where I want to be? No. But am I going to spend my night focusing on that I'm not where I want to be? Or am I going to spend my night focusing on that I've accomplished a task and now I can happily be with my family and friends and be present and enjoy it rather than being negative and upset and then letting that seep into my life? And when I'm 90 years old, regretting how much time I spent in a negative state of mind.
Right. Yes. And that's exactly kind of where I hope that I'm growing is that, you know, rather than, you know, focusing on the physical part where that's kind of becoming second nature, you know, because that was never second nature before. So it's that progress makes me very happy that like I can, you know, just as a funny little aside, like I was talking to a friend the other day about weight loss and I'm rattling off like, okay, 14 grams of this is this many calories, blah, blah, blah. She's like, how do you know that? I'm like, for a second I had to stop and think like, how do I know that? Well, I know it because I've just, you know, repetition has gotten me there. But
exactly,
like, you know, like, so the physical part of it has become very second nature to me, which I'm really glad about, but I hope that, that I can grow more in the mind area. Cause that's the thing is the hardest thing. I underestimated that.
The thing is you are, and I know that because when you first started, the hardest part for you was the physical side.
Right.
And you didn't want to run and you didn't want to probably track your calories and learn all this stuff. If someone told you that when you first started that you would be able to say how many grams, like, is there 14 grams of protein and X amount of this? You'd be like, fuck you. No way. Like, absolutely not. Like, you did not think, I'm assuming you probably did not think that's definitely going to be me.
Yeah. No.
But now that you not only like hear that the mental side is the most important side, but you understand it and internalize it and say, I hope that I'll be able to do it because it's the hard part. It's the hard part now only because you made it through the first hard part. And this is the second hard part.
Right.
And that there will be, then the other part will, there will be other hard parts that you can't even foresee yet that you'll get to. And then we'll be on the call again, another 6 months, a year. And you'd be like, wow, that part was hard, but I'm through it and now I'm here and I hope I can make progress. And I'll be like, of course you're gonna fucking make progress. You do this all the time. Like, and it's just, you're not quitting and you're working incredibly hard. You are beyond inspirational. You are like, one of the things, and I know like this is the biggest thing is you were basically saying you would never talk like that to anyone else, but you do to yourself. You are so kind, so generous, so giving in every aspect. And what I hope you do starting in this moment every day is not only give to other, like you do in the inner circle, I'm sure outside, but I hope you give to yourself in the same way you give to others. And that might be something worth writing down every morning. Today, I'm going to give to myself just like I give to others. Treat myself like I treat others. And I have a feeling that if you make that a daily habit, a daily ritual of making sure to do that, over time, you're going to start to realize, like in the same way that you would get up and you would run and you didn't want to run, mm-hmm. you can get up and you can do this and actively have like a 2 minute time period where you focus on making sure this is what you do every day and maybe setting your alarm. So like every 3 hours, you can be reminded, okay, am I treating myself that way? But making it a habit and a conscious thought process that you have to actively work through.
Right.
I have no doubt you're going to do it. Just you come so far. There's only positives. It's just, it's funny because it's easier to look back and say, oh, well, yeah, no, I get the physical side now, but how much time and effort and sweat and dedication and determination went into that. It's the same thing with the mental side. It's just a different type of exertion.
Right. Yeah. And it's almost more draining than the physical side.
It is now.
It is. Yeah. It feels it like, is. Yeah. It's very tiring, like wearing. I don't know how to explain it. Not that I think it's, and it sounds like I think about myself all the time. I really don't, but I will say.
Well,
like,
of course, everyone thinks about themselves all the time. We all, that's like, of course you do. Everybody does.
Well, but like, right. But I mean, it sounds very vain to say it out loud.
Yeah, but I mean, we're all vain. Everyone is. If someone says, like, we all are, and that's human nature. It's so like we're supposed to not be like think about ourselves. Of course, that's human nature. We would die if we didn't. Right. But like, it's not bad. It's not weird. You're noticing this is harder now because you've now made the physical side easier for you. You've built up a very wealthy bank account in the physical side. Your bank account in the mental side is. You're just starting. You've just opened that bank account and you haven't paid your dues yet. And you haven't spent the time and the hours building up saving. And now you have to. And that's starting with treating yourself like you treat others.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I do need to do that.
Mary, you are truly one of a kind. And I'm not saying that lightly. I mean it. You are incredible. And did this help at all? Did this give you some insight, some ideas, like to move forward and like hopefully like stop being so critical of yourself?
Yeah, actually, I sometimes talking over with someone who's objective, because you know you do this all the time. Like my husband, when I talk to him about it, he's like, "Oh, you're fine, you're beautiful." He says all the right husbandy things.
Right.
But
yeah.
Sometimes it's good to hear. You know, it from someone who's objective, like you don't have to spend 24 hours a day with me. So you don't have to make life pleasant with me. You just have to be straight with me. So yes, absolutely. Especially writing it down every day. I'm a journaler. So writing it down every day, maybe not for the rest of my life, but until it becomes like the physical side, second nature, I think that will be very helpful for me.
Think of it like tracking your calories. Like you, at first, you had to weigh and measure everything because you didn't know. Right. And like, that was what you had to do. And now you can look at that and be like, oh, that's probably got like between 200 and 225 calories, just eyeballing it, because you know, because you've weighed it so many times. Right. This affirmation of you writing it down several times a day, every day, is your weighing and measuring and counting the macros and researching MyFitnessPal to see how many calories are in it. Like that is the same thing for the mental side.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And that's what I need to think of it as. Because I think that before, when I thought about doing something like that, I hesitated and never did it because I was like, oh, that seems a little self-indulgent.
Yeah. And some people don't count calories because they think it sounds meticulous and neurotic.
Right.
And it's like, you know, it's literally the exact same thing. It's the exact same thing in a different way. And this is the difference between the physical side versus the mental side. And so I'm so adamant about doing this stuff. And it's like, I'm not saying it for shits and giggles. I'm serious. You better fucking write this stuff down. Like just like you'd weigh and measure for three meals and two snacks as an example, right. You should write this down for three times a day and then maybe have an alarm go off and like have a 60-second meditation with yourself to think about it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Because you know, it does me no good to sit and talk about it and then not actually do it. So
that's exactly right. Well, Mary, listen, thank you so much for coming on and for talking. I am so excited to hear the response to this. I think that there's going to be a lot of emotions and tears and like some really like in very, very grateful people. And I'm incredibly grateful you took the time to talk to me. So thank you.
Oh, thank you so much for picking me to call. I really appreciate it.
I appreciate you, Mary. Have a wonderful week. Tell your kids. I hope they got some good M&Ms. and I'll talk to you soon. Okay.
Okay, we'll talk to you later.
Bye, Mary.
Bye.
And that wraps up another episode of the Daily Unicorn Mini Podcast. Just want to say huge thank you to Mary for being so open and willing to talk. It was really an amazing episode, and I appreciate it so much. And thank you to you for listening and your encouragement and your support. I'm having a ton of fun with these podcasts. I hope you're enjoying them. If you are, please leave a review, a star rating, whatever you think it's worth. They actually really do help a lot. And if you want to be featured on this Daily Unicorn mini podcast, email me, leave a comment on my Instagram post, Facebook post, tweet at me, get my attention. I want to get as many people on the show, not just fitness professionals. I want everyday people. I want you. I want literally you, because I think the reality is the more we can share our own stories, the more we can help each other, because a lot of times we think we're alone. We think that we're the only one struggling with certain things. And the more we can share openly, the more we can realize we all struggle with the same things, and we can normalize that and become more open and aware, and not only more aware, but more comfortable with ourselves. And with that, you can really start to succeed in the long term. So thank you for listening. Have a wonderful day. I'll talk to you soon.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.